These are IMC Krems International Business Students on Air.
Hello everybody, we already recorded this episode of the podcast in June and July 2021. So when the discussion on lifting and waiving patents on COVID vaccines was much more prominent in the media and in international relations. We hope you enjoyed this episode and have a fun next 20 or 30 minutes. So welcome everybody to a new episode of our IBE student podcast. Today Claudia, Anthony and me, Navid Dash, will talk about the current discussion on lifting or waiving the patents of the COVID vaccines. And to start off, Claudia will introduce you to the patents and the patent system.
So thank you, Navid, for introducing me. So about the patent system, the purpose of the patent system is to encourage innovation by granting inventors a patent for their inventions. A patent, in short, is a governmental grant to inventors of a right to exclude others from making, using, offering, selling, or importing their invention. In short, it helps to safeguard the rights on the property. After the limited period of time, normally 20 years, the patent expires and the public can take advantage of the invention because it becomes public. Regarding the international cooperation, it is important to know that companies or inventors need to file patents in many countries because patents are a territorial right.
Very interesting. And just maybe in general, is the patent system considered to be kind of good or is it bad?
So from a public point of view, I would say that information asymmetries and the monopoly position has some offsetting effects as well. But by encouraging innovation to find solutions for challenges and problems in society, companies are eager to develop and invent new technologies and processes. In this way, the society gains from the innovation, which increases social welfare.
Interesting. Very good point. So we profit more. But of course, not only if the public profits, what about the companies? Are intellectual property rights and patents, of course, important for companies?
Yes, so I would say organizations really realize the value of intellectual property assets as it involves a significant percentage of a company's valuation during mergers and acquisitions. So these assets provide a high rate of return and competitive advantage as well. In recent times, patents are more and more licensed to non-competing companies. Presently, many businesses have way bigger profits from patent licensing than any other primary activities. And additionally, I would say IP rights are nowadays much more than an exclusive right. So, for example, especially startups use intellectual property such as patents as collateralization to get debt financing in order to continue with the R&D.
Wow, so patents play a huge role.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, yes. I would like to ask you to talk about this patenting more on a strategic point of view. So how would strategic patenting and its effects look like?
Well, in the current discussion, especially now from seeing the patent system, how it works, there are also some studies, for example, by Teresi and others, in a large-scale survey in the US, Japan, and Europe from 2003 and 2005, because normally, as you already explained to us, patents are used to kind of have the exclusivity of a right, but there are many patents that just remain unused, and this kind of supports the view that they are just filed to block the competition from getting the very important innovation. So you can also say, well, the patent system allows some things like this to happen.
Okay, so do you think there is a difference between like small and medium-sized enterprises and multinational corporations when it comes to like how they would take patents into consideration?
Well, according to some studies, for example, by Brehm and others on Spanish companies, the increasing importance of strategic patenting puts small and medium-sized enterprises at a disadvantage because they are normally only filing patents when they see a high probability of market success. But large companies often file many patents because they have the needed financial funds. And as already explained before, it kind of blocks the competition.
Okay. So what I would also want to ask and to know would be, how does the patent system influence in the biomedical sector?
in the just maybe just a general overview that we can see how important the biomedical sector and patents are for each other among the leading technical fields. Pharmaceuticals and biotechnology showed in the last year the biggest increase in terms of patent filings. And the most inventions in 2020 were also mainly from the medical technology field. So it is from of huge importance for this sector to have patents. And this also kind of has different, there are also different views. For example, Miss Helen Gabi argued in her article that the biomedical sector and the patent system leads to a barrier to inclusive prosperity because companies focus on the business side and diseases in developed countries are not often in the spotlight for pharmaceutical companies as they most likely will not lead to higher revenues. But as we can see now, when once a pandemic starts and every country, not only for poor countries, are affected, then the companies are really eager to develop vaccines or other help. So this is kind of an aspect which needs to be considered in this discussion. So there are some suggestions that maybe we could change, or there's no. So there at the moment, there is also the suggestion of Helen Gubby that the patent system in the biomedical sector needs to be changed by dismantling it and starting with a robust and stable system of remuneration with public funding.
So, other than that, you mentioned, are there like any good part about the patent system?
Well, especially in the pharmaceutical sector, I think to start off, it's important to know that only 10% of of the development of drugs is successful. So in the in 9 of 10 cases, all the money spent on research and development is, if you put it like this, useless, because if you don't get a functioning drug, all the money you spent doesn't get you a return back. So this is of course important to know, and to why in the pharmaceutical sector, many countries grant supplemental protection of 5 years besides the normal 20 years, because it often takes so long till from the start of filing the patent till the starting of using the patent with a drug. So without the patent system, it can be seen as doubtful if companies will continue to invest huge amounts of money into research and development. And according to a 2010 study by Chen and Chang from US pharmaceutical companies, the results show really that if pharmaceutical companies want to enhance their market value, they should increase the leading positions in their most important technological fields and cultivate more diversity of technological capabilities and raise the innovative value of their patents.
Okay, so there is a really good part about the patent system, as we can understand from that.
Yeah, and maybe after having seen these two different point of views, how does the current discussion on lifting or waiving the patents of the corona vaccines look?
Yeah, so what I would like to say that the current discussion on lifting patents has many layers and interest groups. So the ongoing discussion in the public between well-known politicians has sparked interest like all over the world. So Ursula von der Leyen, the European Union Commission President, said she is ready to discuss any proposals that address the crisis effectively and pragmatically. So, and also the US President Joe Biden suggested a lift of patent protection for COVID-19 vaccines as well. These two are like bigger steps for the whole world. And many other countries, such as Italy, France, and India, are in support of lifting of the patent protection. Lifting patents has significant implications on the vaccine protection and the current state of the patent system. Like, it's understandable. So, companies like stay reluctant to suspend or waive patents as others would be able to make the vaccines and profit from it as well, which is very understandable. But the current discussion and talking about this discussion and seeing an agreement from a bigger part of the two political worlds, like the European Union and the US, it seems like it's a very important thing to be done.
And maybe to be more into detail, how do the patents on the corona vaccines look like?
So to see from like a sort of like a scientific point of view, to effectively combat this COVID virus, this is like the coronavirus called SARS-CoV-2, which led to the global pandemic named COVID-19, international cooperation was important. So scientists have rushed to develop vaccines, therapeutics and diagnostics since the discovery and publication of the virus genome in January 2020. The range of vaccine technology used by the promising vaccine candidates is from viral vector-based and protein-based technologies to mRNA and lipid nanotechnology. Barriers such as the vaccine cold chain and multiple forms of intellectual property protection stand in the way of equitable access and fair allocation despite the impressive scientific achievements that this sector have.
And maybe more detail, because everybody's kind of not sure what is it really, or maybe the patents of this new mRNA of technology.
The success of like mRNA vaccines such as the BioNTech and Moderna clinical trials highlights the potential of the mRNA technology to be the future of the medicine in the world. So key technological advancements were invented in academic labs or small biotech companies and then licensed to larger companies for product development. Patent trade secrets and know-how owned by or assigned to larger companies may impede future research and development of mRNA technology despite its success by creating legal barriers which could hinder access to this technology. Mm-hmm. That is mainly about the whole scientific point of view and understanding of the patents and mRNA technology. And what I would like to ask you, Navid, is are there any arguments against lifting patents on COVID vaccines then?
I mean, of course, if there wouldn't be any arguments against it, I think we wouldn't have this important discussion. And
true that.
Maybe the first of all is, of course, from the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmaceutical industry. They often say, well, it would totally hinder future in innovation if you now start waiving or lifting patents of vaccines that are created over a longer period of time. And without that, because as we talked about before, not every drug is successful, and if you lift the patents of a successful drug, why should companies start researching for more and to cure other diseases if there is the probability that they won't have the patent right in the future? So it could hinder innovation. And the other argument is that the problem is not really not having the access to the patents, but more of a production and distribution infrastructure which is missing. So that this very political discussion is not targeting the real problem, but kind of more getting some buzz in the news, but not really focusing on the main problem. So this is also a part which needs to be considered if you want to vaccinate the world.
So, after this introduction to the topic, we are very happy to welcome Dr. Gera Redl as an expert to our podcast. She works as a patent and trademark attorney and has more than 20 years' experience in the life science industry. Her technical expertise is in the fields of biotechnology, biochemistry, and chemistry. And prior to founding Redl Life Science Patent Attorneys, she held senior management positions in biotech, mid-sized pharma, and big pharma companies.
Yeah, so welcome, Ms. Redl, to our podcast. And just to start off, could you briefly explain to us how your work as a patent attorney looks like?
Yeah, thank you for the invite. I'm a patent attorney, which means it's a national type of business. That's why I'm an Austrian patent attorney, European patent attorney, trademark and design attorney, and a court expert, because we are also representing at the court. So I'm working in the life science field. So I'm working with life science companies, and I'm representing life science companies before the patent offices and before the court. Which means I'm working with them, which means inventors, startup businesses, universities, small, mid-sized and large pharma companies. They all need patents and IP protection. So if they have an invention and a business plan, we are discussing how to protect their invention, to draft the suitable patents and claims, to defend that before the patent offices, of course, to file at the patent offices, online filing, international applications, national applications. We are filing patents all around the world through a network of colleagues. I think we are representing at the moment more than 100 countries in the world. So to get the patents granted and to defend them if they are attacked or opposed. Again, we are also attacking and opposing third-party patents. We are analyzing the patent situation if there are issues, if the client needs license, they need to check which are the blocking claims or which are the valuable claims that need to be licensed. And if there is no amicable solution, we are going to the court and enforce the patents. Yeah, so we are working for the companies.
Thank you very much for that great overview. And I think that makes you a great and very suitable expert. Current discussion, which is focusing on the discussion between different countries and stakeholders and companies, of course, of lifting or waiving patents. And our main questions to start off with are maybe give us a review about the underlying reasons of the discussion and, of course, the different views on lifting or waiving patents for COVID vaccines.
Of course, yeah. It's good that there is a discussion out there. But I realize that people are discussing several different waivers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what the initiative was about from India and South Africa last year was an IP waiver for combating COVID-19. And this did not only refer to vaccines, but also to diagnostics, glass vials, whatever is needed. What people are nowadays discussing is more or less the COVID-19 vaccines. Yeah, and this is this got very clear from Joe Biden's comment. It's just a comment. Yeah, that it's a patent waiver on COVID-19 vaccine, not IP, which means copyrights and trademarks and trade secrets, mm-hmm. Yeah, but patents on COVID-19 vaccines. And actually what people are mean is mRNA vaccines.
Okay.
Because it's just background is maybe that there are currently 20 different COVID-19 vaccines licensed for use in several countries. And in Europe and in the US, I think it's four vaccines are licensed. And mRNA vaccines, they are two. And the others are different technologies. And nobody is talking about Sputnik and AstraZeneca, yeah. Because there are no patents around that would need to be, and their waivers would not be necessary to do Sputnik or AstraZeneca. So you could copy that if you could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people talk about mRNA vaccines, and the mRNA technology is, there are patents which are 10, 15 years old. So there was a lot of work, preparatory work and development work for oncology uses. And they just did the repurposing.
Okay.
For infectious disease vaccines. So when you ask about what's about the IP waiver, I think it boils down to patents that protect mRNA vaccines, yeah, because the others are not relevant in this regard. The question is more import, export, logistics, raw materials, how to produce and distribute the mRNA vaccines this year and next year, so that people get what they need.
I think this leads to another aspect that says the main problem aren't the patents themselves, but much more that production facilities, logistics, and raw material sourcing needs to be improved, and which argues with that strategy a better result is achieved. So if the required production is built and the supply chain works,
do we even need to waive the IP or the patents for the COVID vaccines? Because it, of course, has a lot of implications. If that is done one time, what will it mean for the pharmaceutical companies?
I think this is the position. This is the position of the European Union. They have issued a paper just recently about their position. They are not supporting the IP waiver or patent waiver, but they are supporting means for compulsory licenses. And to clarify that it, which are the criteria for compulsory licenses. And you have to know that ahead of compulsory licenses, of course, there are discussions whether there is a voluntary license possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a voluntary license is always better than a compulsory one, because it's not just, hey, there is a patent, because patents are published. There is a patent, can you do that? But it's more and more about trade secrets, yeah? Because how to produce the mRNA, how to formulate it, how to control the quality. This is all trade secrets, including clinical data. Yeah, clinical data are trade secrets with the regulatory authorities.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot give it away, usually.
Yeah.
Without a higher court decision. So
to the kind of the point that the supply chain and production is the more effective route to vaccinate the world, maybe?
Yeah, but only with support of the originator.
Okay.
Because the originator has valuable trade secrets, which the others need. If there is a voluntary license, there is a guarantee that an authorized licensee, there is a guarantee that there is a tech transfer, and that they are working to the same quality. If somebody, wants to copy that without authorization, just because it's compulsory or because there is a waiver, the company would use the same raw materials, and there is a fight for raw materials, and maybe produce not the same quality and not within the same time frame as an authorized licensee would do. So this is definitely the worst alternative. So voluntary licenses are much more preferred, and this is usually what experts in the field in. And also those that advise the European Union suggest that there are voluntary licenses before they are getting compulsory.
Okay. And are there any examples for the innovation driver of the patent system, for example, in the pharmaceutical sector?
Of course, there are several. I mentioned already the PCR technology that was developed in the 90s. They were very prominent patents from Roche. They have asked for expensive royalties. So people, on the one hand, saw that this is a great field for new developments. You can make a fortune. And on the other hand, a wave of innovative approaches was following, because people wanted to get around the Roche patents and to make improved versions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was a very good example that really triggered innovation. And maybe the same with the CRISPR-Cas9 technologies nowadays. Maybe you have heard already of the gene editing technology with CRISPR-Cas9, so you could very easily cut and paste genes with the new enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
It's called CRISPR-Cas9.
Okay.
And there are a lot of patents out there, and they're getting more and more because a lot of innovation is possible now with this new technology, and people do not really care of being blocked, because they want to be the first in in specific fields, and it triggered a lot of innovation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end, of course, they would need to take licenses if they are successful. Yeah, but I think this is not really an issue, because if people are successful, there is a lot of money around, and yeah, everything is dissolvable in money.
Well, if we are already talking about money, maybe let's
talk about how IP and patents are very important for companies as assets.
Yeah, as for pharmaceutical companies, yeah, because of long development times and very and development at high cost and the high risk investment, because I think less than 10% of new drugs get to the market. There's a risk of failure, of course. Mm-hmm. And if it's, let's say, a new indication like Alzheimer, where there is an unmet medical need, there is no cure for Alzheimer yet. The attrition rate is even less than 1%.
Oh.
So people need a really incentive, and a real incentive to invest in new drugs, new drug development, and to develop one drug to the market. I think Tufts University says it's about $2 billion to get it to the market. So if you count all the failures, they really need an incentive in the pharmaceutical industry, product development. And product development, you can estimate maybe 10, 15 years. So if it's 10 years after or 15 years after patent filing, you only have 5 years remaining time where you can get your reward. And patent systems and governments all over the world, therefore granted pharmaceutical industry a 5 years extension of the patent term by means of a supplemental protection certificate if it's a pharmaceutical product that took a long time to develop.
To kind of have it on an even level to the other patents from other sectors, because if you, for example, have a patent in another sector, you can exploit it or use it for 20 years. And if you have to file it in advance and then you need 10 more years to even get to the drug, then five years.
Let's say within the COVID-19 field, let's say a diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a diagnostic only has 20 years of protection. But diagnostics, I have a less development time. And this is maybe the other story, because if a diagnostic has only 2 years of development time, patent sometimes is not a suitable means to protect. You need to be quick to be on the market first. And that is mainly your driver. Of development, the generation time is maybe 2, 3, 4 years. So until the patent is granted, after 3 years, maybe, there's already the next generation of
diagnostics.
Yeah, so it's diagnostics field. Sometimes it's not a patent strategy is not the best one.
That is a very interesting point. And I think with that, we can close our discussion after so many great insights into the patent world and with a focus on the COVID vaccines. And yeah, we'll see how the future will look like for pharmaceutical companies and if the world is going to get vaccinated soon, hopefully sooner than later. And yeah, looking at the current situation, I believe the pandemic
will be around for a few years. Yeah.
Let's hope for the best,
So I wish you a nice and wonderful day, and thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for taking on this this very important topic, and good luck.
Thank you.
And yes, I hope you all enjoyed this episode with Claudia Anthony, Gerda Redl, and me, Navid Dash. Until next time.